Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. What a moment the Father has brought us to. Ooh, I'm so grateful today to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's Word. And all I can say is it is a, stay with me, y'all, a great word this morning. It is a great word. And today on this 17th day of November, wow. Month is just going by. It's just going by quickly. And so I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for a do-over. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be on this side of the earth. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that we are your sons and daughters. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that you've given us another day. To sing your praises, to give you honor, to give you glory, to give you a hallelujah worship. Father God, I thank you for this word that will go forth this day. I ask you to give me a voice to speak and ears to hear what you say to do. Father, I ask you to increase the tendency. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I ask you again, please increase as I do too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for each of you. Asking God to bless you and to watch over you and to keep you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name, again I pray. Amen. So let's get started in the Word today. And this day we are in Ezekiel chapter 25. Through chapter 26, get your pens down. Again, Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 26. Our psalm is the 128th psalm, verses 1 through 6. And we are in Hebrews chapter 12 today. Actually, no, we are in Hebrews chapter 11. Today, starting at verse 13 through 40. And we will be moving forward into our lesson today. It's coming out of chapter 12, our title, which is actually tomorrow's title, but it's all right. So we're going to read chapter 11, verses 13 through 40 today. And we're going to continue in the Word of God. And thank him for his grace and his mercy. So I am so excited this morning because God's word is good. We're still going to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And this is part one. And we're serving him with faith. And this is part one today. And then we'll go, it will have part two on tomorrow. And the word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 25, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwellings among you. They shall eat your food, and they shall drink your milk, and I will make Rabbah a stable for camels and Ammon a resting place for flocks. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. But thus says the Lord God, because you clapped your hands, stomped your feet, and rejoiced in heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel, indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the peoples, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, look, the house of Judah is like all the nations. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, frontiers, the glory of the country, Beth, Jezemoth, Bel Neon, Karzahim, to the men of the east, and I will give it as a possession together with the Ammonites, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations, and I will execute judgment upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God or his people. Better give God reverence. And it goes on to say, thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Timon, Dadan, Dedan shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger, according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Karahites and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. I will execute great judgment on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. Whew. Don't make God mad. Don't play with God, I'm telling y'all. And it came to pass, chapter 26 of Ezekiel, and it came to pass in the 11th year on the first day of the month that the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the people. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be sealed. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. Destroy the walls of Tyre, break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughters' villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against her from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, and with the horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter, villages in the field. He will heap up a siege mount against you, build a wall against you, and defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of his forces, the dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots. This is wild. The horsemen and the wagons and the chariots, when he enters the gate, as men enter a city that is being breached, with the hooves of his horses, he will trample, and all your streets he will slay. Your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. I just want to put a pin right there. If you've ever been at any place where there's a lot of horses, when the horses run, it makes the ground shake. So can you imagine all these horses and chariots coming at you and you hearing them and feeling the shaking of the ground? It's like an earthquake. That is something else. God don't play. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. Now remember, Tyre is a country that's right on the coast. They're a coastal town where ships come in, they get goods from all over the world, and then they sell them. And so now he's saying, let me tell you something. Y'all think y'all all that? You're not going to be all that anymore, because y'all about to get invaded and y'all about to get told down. And he goes on to say, I will put an end to the sound of your songs and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading net, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you? Then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, and take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled by your departure. But thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you, and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate and iniquity, and from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. And we all know that there are cities under the sea right now. Archaeologists are always digging around somewhere, including in the sea. And they have found whole cities in the water. They have been covered. So we better understand, as water starts to recede in different places, we're going to find all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. Just get prepared. Because they're finding things right now in the Mississippi River. In one of the lakes near Las Vegas, they found dead bodies. They found boats. They found people that have been missing. They have found all kind of stuff. As the water recedes, we better understand, more things in the Middle East are going to be found. And it's going to terrify some people, some of the things that they're going to come up and discover. And some things they're going to just hide because they've been hiding stuff for years. But understand, we better get ready. Jesus is coming back. When, I don't know. He doesn't even know. Only God knows. All need to get ready. All need to be saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, believing and trusting that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and that he loves us without condition. He has brought grace into our life. That God gives us grace. He doesn't destroy now like he did back then because of Christ and because of grace. But don't get it twisted. Don't trifle with the Father. Don't play games with God. Because God knows everything about you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet and everything in between. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He has given you that silver that's starting to show. I bet it like myself, your head is full of it. But God gave it to me. I earned every silver strand of wisdom. So I thank God every day for his grace. And we got a life principle in this book of Ezekiel chapter 25 and some life lessons. And for those that are just joining the show, principles, lessons, questions, what the Bible says, come from Dr. Charles Stanley, because we are in the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year by Dr. Stanley. And we are almost finished with the Bible. For those that joined me on January 1st of this year, we are almost done. We are on page 1391 in our Bible. And there are only 1,592 pages left. So we are about 201 pages from finishing the Word of God. That's an accomplishment. And I just said, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this mighty book. And I tell everybody, buy this Bible. It's a great, great compliment to your biblical arsenal. You know, you should have more than one Bible. You should have more than one Bible. Because you never know. Because if you get some of the newer versions, you got to go back to King James. So you need to have, everybody should have a King James Bible. Because King James is the foundation that we use. You know, I was reading an article and listening to a sermon, and it talked about Ethiopian Bible has 88 books of the Bible, where we have 66. You know, because Ethiopian Bible is the oldest Bible ever written that we can get our hands on. There's more older Bibles. But the Ethiopians talk about different things than we do. So I'm going to get an Ethiopian Bible one of these days. I translated to English just so I can see the difference, because I like to study and I like to read the Word. So anyway, let's get back to our life lessons. And the first one is Ezekiel 26:5. It shall be a place for spreading nets. Ezekiel's prophecy about the fate of terror is a remarkable example of fulfilled prophecy. While at the height of her power, Ezekiel predicted she would become a place to drive fishing nets, exactly what it is today. That's exactly what it is today. So Geographic is awesome, and you find out so much when you go to National Geographic and start looking for certain places that are in the Bible, and you will find that so much of the Bible prophecy about those places have come to fruition. And then when we go to Life Principles, which is what Dr. Stanley gave us, he says, whatever you acquire outside of God's will eventually turns to ashes. Whew. That's something to think about when folks get all money crazy. You know, I want this, and then you get it and wonder, oh, my, lose your mind. And then you wonder why, when you need, you don't have. Come on. better put some aside and get some insurance. You know, I'm speaking this because families need to have insurance. Everyone, listen to my voice. If you do not have life insurance, get it. It is nothing worse than a GoFundMe to pay for somebody's funeral, or not even a GoFundMe, but no church home. You need a church home, and you don't need your children out there having to do GoFundMe to bury you. Get some life insurance, because we all going to leave this earth at some time or another. And as we go forward, it says, some people think that God's refusal to give them some cherished need would be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. They think life would truly disappoint them if some urgent desire of theirs should go unmet. God is not an ATM. You know, he's not going to come at the time that you demand. You know, he's not going to come at the time you demand. He's not your ATM. So they pursue their desire either in opposition to God's will or in disregard of it and end up truly disappointed. Even if they get what they think they wanted, they remind me of the Israelites to Moses, they who insisted on meat and got it. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They wanted everything. We, I was so tired of this manna from heaven. I just want some meat. We need to go back to Egypt, the complainers. And then that complainer said, well, I heard that there's a group that want to go back to Egypt. If you want to go with us, you need to let me know. The whisper campaign. The whiners and complainers. And we have them in every church. Whine and complain. Well, I don't like this. Well, why did they do that? Why did they pick him? Why did they pick her? No, that's not what God wants us to do. Because sometimes God will give you your request, and you'll find out you're worse off than you ever have been in your life. We got to remember, God, your will. Every day, your will. Lord, whatever, your will, not mine. G.K. Chesterton said, and this is a quote from Dr. Stanley, there are two ways to get enough. One is to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less. While you can always accumulate more things, more relationships, more success, there will always be room for more. And when there's room for more, there's room for wanting more. The cycle never ends. Come on now. All of info's business, isn't it? If you choose the second route of Chesterton's advice to desire less, that's where I've gotten, to desire less. The likelihood of living a fulfilling life increases, but others one simply won't let. By going back to the one desire present in every human heart, to know God. Thank you, Lord. You may not understand this longing as a desire for God. You may simply feel dissatisfaction with your life. Maybe the relationship you wanted and attained isn't the thing you thought it would be. Perhaps you have everything you've ever wanted and yet still go through years of longing, sadness, and loneliness. The origin of dissatisfaction, unfulfilled expectations, and feelings of sadness or loneliness is the same, a raging hunger for what you cannot see and do not fully know. God, whew, God, sent you to go. Augustine said to God, you make us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And that's the truth. When you are just feeling like restless, or you just can't seem to get to sleep, you just can't seem to get anything done, is because you need God. And I'm not speaking just to you, I'm speaking to me. I know there's some things I got to do. Can't do it without God. We got to say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. You handle my situations because I am overwhelmed. There is always more to be uncovered about God. He will never get to the bottom. We will never get to the bottom of him while we live on earth. But once we enter into a relationship with the Lord, he promises to reveal more of himself to us as we fellowship with him. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 through 20 says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to be married to God, to fellowship with God, to talk to him and listen to him as you study the Bible. It is to get to know him better. He has betrothed for engaged. He has people, his people to himself. God has engaged us to himself. He has betrothed us to himself for one reason, to let himself be known. Do you know God today? Have you accepted Jesus today? God is, he wants that relationship, that personal relationship with us. Don't get upset if you see someone crying at the altar because they're wanting a closer relationship with God. I know I've been there. I've been on my knees because I every day want a closer relationship with God. When he gave me this assignment, I'm like, Lord, what? That costs money. And God said, do it. Do it. I will provide. And he has provided. He has provided everything I need to do my assignment. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we continue in our word, it says, glimpsing one of God's characteristics in his word and then seeing it come to life through our experiences. And we seriously, you might want to write this down. Our humility. Avail we more deeply understand our need for him. What's the song say? I need you every day and every hour. And it says our gratitude, knowing that God's loving kindness motivates his forgiveness, delivers and guidance, gives us a thankful heart instead of coming to God with complaints about our unfulfilled, selfish desires. We come to him with adoration and praise. You know, when we talk about gratitude, I am thankful for the things that you have done. And then when we go, I am thankful for the victories we won. I could go on and on about your love, about your grace. And then it goes, because I'm grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful. We got to be grateful to God for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness, for his loving, for his forgiveness of our sins. Our hunger, when the Holy Spirit sheds new light on an old verse, one we read many times, our quest for more gets stronger. Our appreciation of God's word gives us a more profound delight in studying and applying its truth. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm hungry for your word. Our reverence, learning something new about our Creator, reminds us that we don't know everything about him. As we come to the depth and height of God, our awe of him grows. Whew. As we read Ezekiel, as we read every book, just a few we're missing. And we just think how awesome God is. How wonderful God is. How magnificent God is. And you can't help but give him reverence. Think about the planets. Think about the universe. Think about all the solar systems and galaxies out there. our daddy, God, created them, and he created us. When you go to the NASA website and you see some of the things that are out there, you know, I caught a cluster, and it looks like a smiley face. I put it out. I put it on my Facebook because I was so amazed looking at it. I'm like, God is smiling at us. God is smiling at us to let us know I'm out here. A smiley face in the universe. Come on now. Only God has that kind of sense of humor. And if you go back onto our word from Dr. Tim, he says, I desire to please God. When we have a right, holy, respectful fear of the Lord, our wants change from satisfying ourselves to satisfying our God. Pleasing him is not a chore. Rather, it becomes a joy done out of humility and thankfulness. Amazing, as we pursue our desire for God, he fulfills the other desires he has given us. See Psalms 37:4. And so we learn afresh that while acquiring anything outside of his will leaves dust in our mouth, he desires to fill us with pleasure forevermore. Psalm 16:11. And so to go back over here, glimpsing one of God's characteristics in his word and then seeing it come to life through our experience, the deepens. And the first is our humility. The second, our gratitude. The third, our hunger for more of him. Our fourth, our reverence, learning more about him and knowing how awesome he is. And our desire to please God, but God is not an ATM. We need to be thankful for what we have and not constantly, Lord, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. God already knows I need. And sometimes he'll give you your wants in abundance. So we need to say, Lord, I want more of you. Whatever else happens in my life, I want more of you. Because understand all the things you have, your cars, your whatever you got, clothes, shoes, all of that stuff, it's going to be here when you leave this earth. And somebody else has got to get rid of it. Somebody else has got to go through your doors and see all your mess. Somebody else has got to go through everything in your life to get rid of it when you leave it. So the least you have, the easier it is for your family. Because if you have a whole lot of stuff that even you don't know what to do with it all, believe me, your family will have to deal with it later because you can't take it with you. Not one stick can you take with you. Because once you go into the ground, that body with all the clothes on it, you can't take all your clothes in your casket. You can't take all your money in your casket. You know, one a story I heard, you know, and it was a joke about rich man told his wife, when I die, I want you to put all my money in my casket with me. And you better promise me that you're going to give me all that money. And so when he died, she put all his money in his casket. And guess what she did? She wrote a check and stuck it in the casket. I want to see him casket. How about you? You can't take it with you. I'm sure she's feeling very well right now. You know, the crux of the story is, you can't take it with you. I don't care. Give them a check because that's all they're going to get because they can't cash it. Because they'll be gone. And that chick will still be in the casket with their dead body. Because that's all it is the body. You're not in there. Because your soul is already ascended with God. Absent from the body in the presence of the Lord. That's the word, and I stand on the word of God. 128th Psalm, please join me there. Another song of ascent. It says, bless everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. When you eat the labor of your hands, You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive branches all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He who is a proud heart stirs up strife. Come on now. But he who trusts in the Lord will be prosperous. We can't be so proud and I'm right in everything. We can't be like that. We got to know that God is in charge. And whatever God tells you, he's going to tell it to somebody first with you so you have a confirmation. If he tells it to your pastor's already been confirmed by somebody, by her overseer, by his overseer, by the bishop, by somebody has come back and told everything that the pastor has been told by God, somebody tells it to him. Again, they don't even know what's going on. They'll get a confirmation because that's just how God works. He gives you confirmation. Even when you're trying to hold on to something that you know your time is up and God's already given you a confirmation of what you want, you need to do, but you're holding on because you're like, but Lord, you called me to do this. And God said, but yeah, I did. But now your time is up. Don't go walking in offense. Be ready to go into your next generation, your next assignment. God's going to give you assignments. Some you're going to love, some you're going to hate. Some you're going to know that you are right where you're supposed to be. And when God gives them to you, you are right where you are supposed to be. And you're going to love every minute of it. Because God gave it to you. And that's a part of faith. You know, and our title for today as well as for tomorrow is serve God faithfully, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Serve God faithfully, acceptably, with acceptable. Serve God faithfully, acceptable, with reverence and godly fear. We got to accept God, and we have to have reverence and godly fear. Because God wants the best for his children. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. And as we go into our last word for this morning, we are coming out of Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 13 through 40. We started Hebrews yesterday, chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. And so these are the words that God gave us. In our word to Paul, he says, these are all dead in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. They desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to rise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they thought he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God for the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Hallelujah. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so and were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Come on, Joshua. Down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And understand, by faith, Rahab became an ancestor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We better understand, we don't know who God will use for the greatness of his kingdom. And it goes on to tell us, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised life to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking and spitting, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were sawn in two. So we're talking to disciples. These are the things that happened to the disciples, to the apostles. They were stoned. They were cut in half, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us than us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Wow. God ain't promised us riches on this earth. God has not promised us everything that we want, but he has promised us eternal life. He has promised us his son. He has promised us salvation. God will provide your needs, and a lot of you won't. But we got to give back to God what we have to give God. Give God your time by studying and meditating on his word. Give God whatever your talent is without thinking you're the greatest thing in the world. We all fall short. None of us are perfect, but we give God what God desires of us. Our time, our talent, pay your tithe. You know, and I know there's a lot of ministers that don't believe in tithing. They think that's old school. That was back then. Now you just give a free will offering. You give what you have. But we all understand that Abraham didn't even know about tithing, but he gave a tenth to Melchizedek. If Jesus is not worth a sit in your bed in your face and watch him work in your life. I can attest to this. God loves us. He only wants us to love him and to love each other. What did Jesus say? The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't go around hating each other. And if someone causes you to hate, they are not of God. It's something to keep in mind. If they cause you to hate, they are not of God. Hebrews 11 and 13, life lesson. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, or sure of them. Abraham died having seen some, and not all of God's promises fulfilled. We stand in precisely the same situation. God will certainly fulfill all his promises, but the greatest of them await the next life. Do we believe? My hands up, I believe. I'm trusting God. Hebrews 11, 25, 26, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. For he looked to the reward. The Bible acknowledges that there is some fresh pleasure in sin, even though it quickly passes. It leaves the sinner feeling more empty and unsatisfied than before. The Bible also acknowledges that there is some affliction in godliness, even though that quickly passes too. Yet the reward for godliness far outstrips any pleasure in sin. Remember that word today. God is wanting us to be fully engaged with him. He's wanting us to continuously love each other, serve God faithfully with reverence and godly fear. Part one today. Are you fearing? Are you serving? Keep the first in everything and watch the work in your life. That's all the word we have for this morning. Our prayer for today from our 365 days of prayer for life on this 17th day of November is friend of God. Whew, Lord, I love this word. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18 and 24. I tell anybody, read Proverbs 18. It has everything. So quotable. Love that word. And that's from the NIV. And the word that God gave us this morning is, Good Shepherd, you lead me through every mountain and valley of this life. It is your voice I follow. As I walk with you as my guide, I will not falter or fall. Though I may stumble, you will catch me. Though traps are laid out, you will rescue me if I get caught. You are the most faithful friend I've ever known. You are with me in the long, dark valley, and you are with me on the mountaintop. You share with me in every celebration and every devastation. You grieve with me in my sorrow. You are closer to me than my own flesh and blood. Though they love me as they are able, your love is perfect, washing away the pain of misunderstanding and unmet expectations from every other relationship. Where I have learned to relate to you in faulty ways, tear down and reveal the connection. I know that you will never fail me, God. I'd say that again. I know that you will never fail me, God. Can y'all say that with me? I know you will never fail me, God. Don't let me forget the wonder and security of this pure love. There's no love like godly love, because God loves us without condition. He loved us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. He loved us in the nighttime. He loved us in the day. He loved us when we pray. He loved us when we just are quiet so that he can speak. And all we have to say is, my family, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We gotta let God speak. Let him speak in your heart today. Let him speak in your life today. Watch God work miracles today. And this is the word that gives us something to think about. Do you trust God's friendship to stick with you through the thick and the thin? And all I can say is, yes, Lord, I trust you. And before we leave this morning, a word from our sisters in Christ. And I just want to give a shout out to Sister Tracy, who didn't send her word this morning yet, but I'm sure we'll have it by tomorrow. But from Sister Carolyn this morning, it's this. Wherever you go today, she's all up in the word. God will be right there. He is omnipresent. Have a thankful Thursday. Sister Carolyn never knows what God is going to give me in my heart, what he's going to take us to. And she's right on point. Wherever you go today, God will be right there. He is omnipresent. Have a thankful Thursday, family. That's all I have this morning. If there's anyone that has a word from God that would like to share it with the audience, please push the number 1 on your phone. If not, we pray our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, serve God faithfully with reverence and godly fear. Because you know what? He's always there. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap.